Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Amen. I'll say this is, I want to say thanks again for Spencer and the message that he preached, and I hope that you have chewed on the fact about not forgetting Jerusalem. And man, there's so much work that we have in our county and in our neighborhood. And as I rode through some of the county today, I thought about all the souls that was in need of the Word of God and how that we need to be up and about the Father's business. Jesus said, I must work the work of Him that sent me while it is day, because night cometh when no man can work. And another place in the Word of God, it says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. This is what it cuts. He says, and I speak this to your shame. That's what Paul said. He said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. Remember, as we shared last week in the book of Acts, chapter number 19, that the Word of God, that there was, that, I want to get this right when I say this. I want to say it the right way when I make this statement. So that all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, both Jews and Greeks. He says, for the space of 2.5 years, he said, I ceased not to teach and preach Jesus. He says that in those 2.5 years, he says, all that was in Asia heard. All. And so, man, what a obligation and duty that we have. Did you share the Lord with anybody this week? Have you come in contact with anybody to share Him with? Did you invite them to the house of God? Don't forget about Jerusalem. The people at your checkout line, people that pump gas next to you. You say, well, I don't know how to do it. You just say, hey, how are you doing? You go to church anywhere? How about come go to church with me? I got a bald-headed preacher I'd like for you to hear. We got great musicians. I mean, it doesn't matter. Just invite them. Or ask them, say, do you know Jesus? Have you ever heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? You saved? I mean, it's real simple. The problem is, we just don't do it. But here, let's look in Ephesians chapter number 1. Key verse of the book of Ephesians to me, now you could read after a lot of commentaries and a lot of different Bible scholars, and as I said, I'm not a Bible scholar, I'm just a Bible student. But I believe that the key verses of the book of Ephesians is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. I believe it's a key passage instead of a key verse. And it is one sentence. Let's read here. It's really, if you take it that way, it's one sentence, verses 15 all the way down through 23. And if you'll notice in the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians has some of the longest sentences in the Word of God. But let's look here in verse number 17. Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. I believe that's the key verses of the book of Ephesians. As you study the book of Ephesians, as I said, the book of Ephesians explains grace. It's a book of grace. The book of Galatians is a book of faith, but the book of Ephesians is grace. As we go back and we look in chapter number 1, verse number 2, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is mentioned in the book of Ephesians 12 times. The word grace is mentioned 12 times. Mentioned 99 times in Paul's writings, but it's mentioned 12 times in the book of Ephesians. And now let's look here at some things. I talked to you last week that I would introduce you to Mr. Ed, and we're not talking about a horse, of course, but however the song goes, Cassie used to watch that all the time, Mr. Ed the Talking Horse. And I remember watching it when I was growing up, and it was probably playing when some of you were growing up. But Mr. Ed the Talking Horse, that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I want to talk to you about Mr. Ed being the past tense. And if you will realize that what the Lord has done for us is already accomplished. It's a past tense deal. And so, but let's look here in verse number 2. Let's look here at things I want you to see tonight. We wanted to look at some blessings in the book of Ephesians. Now, we talked last week about some blessings of the Father and the blessings of the Son and the blessings of the Spirit. We talked about God revealing His grace in that He hath in verses 3 through 14 and His will and that it's according to. And then we looked in verses 13 and we seen there that man's requirement to receive grace. We have God's revealing grace and then we have man's requirement to receive grace. In verse number 13, what did you and I have to do to receive grace? We had to hear the word of truth. We had to trust that it was the truth. That we had to believe on the truth. And when we did that, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise according to verse number 13. Which is the earnest of our inheritance or the down payment or the portion until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Think about this. If this, what we are receiving and get to enjoy now of salvation, if this is just an earnest, if this is just a taste of what God has in store for us, can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I mean, think about that. Think about the greatest excitement that you've ever had as a child of God. And that's just a taste of what heaven's going to be like. I want to go tonight, don't you? I mean, think about it. No more flu. No more sinus infection. No more backaches, heartaches, none of that stuff. But just the glory of God in our lives. Man, what a blessing that'd be. Amen. But let's look tonight at the provision of the blessings. Where does our blessings come from? Well, look here, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. The provision of the blessings that you and I have as a child of God comes from none other than God Himself. Who is this God? He's the one that said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. In the beginning. When nothing was, God was. But when God said, let there be light, there was light. And God said, let the waters divide, the waters divided. I'm talking about He whose face the heavens and the earth fleet away. The Bible says in Romans 4 that coming out from the throne is the voice of many waters. In another place it talks about there's lightnings and thunders. Can you imagine today the holy God that's sitting on the throne in heaven from whose face the heavens and the earth fleet away that He is interested in somebody like you? I mean, think about that just for a moment. And we're blessed by Him. We're not a blessing to Him. We are blessed by Him. What does it say? Who hath blessed us. Well, how much has He blessed us with? All spiritual blessings. And we're going to look at some of these in just a moment. He didn't say material blessings. Now see, there's a crowd going around today that all they focus on is the material blessings. Okay? That if you get saved and you live right, then God's going to prosper you and you can live in prosperity. I hate to disappoint them, but according to the New Testament, the blessings of the New Testament suffering. Blessings of the Old Testament is prosperity. Abraham had cattle and camels and Job had thousands of sheep and thousands of cattle and thousands of camels. But the blessings of the New Testament is suffering. The blessings of the Old Testament is prosperity. And He didn't say here that He was blessing us with the spiritual things. I mean, material blessings. But he was blessing us with spiritual blessings. Now we know this, that if we have blessings that are material, we know that they come from God. For every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. And I know some men and women today that are blessed materially, and they're good Christians. They're good Christians. And God's blessed them. But it just because you don't have material blessings does not mean that you're not blessed by God. All right? Sometimes not having material blessings, you have greater blessings. But now let's look here. We see the provision of the blessings. But how do we receive these blessings? Look at the end of verse number 3. Well, first of all, we need to see that the only ones that receive the blessings is in Christ. You see that? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. There's the provision of the blessings. But here's the position. How has He blessed us? With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Over 27 times in this passage of Scripture, the term or the reference to being in Christ is mentioned. Think about that. How did I get in Christ? Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. The Bible says this, you can, as you're turning, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become a new. You do realize that when you and I got saved, we became in Christ. We are in Christ. Today we are in Christ. Now let's look in Romans chapter 12. What does verse number 5 say? Let's read verse number 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in who? Christ. So, do you do understand that for you to receive the spiritual blessings of God, that you must be in Christ, and that when we are in, therefore, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And if you and I are in Christ, turn back a verse 2. How many of you wake up every morning or sometime throughout the day and you feel condemned by your lack of a Christian? Or you feel condemned by the enemy himself? You ever feel that way? I do. Well, let's look. If you and I are in Christ, let's look at what Romans 8, verse number 1 says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that? There's no condemnation to you. You say, well, you know, you're taking that out of context. No, I'm not. Then you say, well, the last part of that says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, you're exactly right there. But the fact of the matter is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So aren't you glad you're in Christ? Aren't you glad that you're receiving the blessings of God because you're in Christ? Well, let's go back to the book of Ephesians and let's look at the period of the blessings. Now let me say this to you. Let's look at the position of the blessings. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians. Let's look at the place of the blessings. Look at verse number 3. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places. There's the where. I'm blessed in heavenly places. You do realize tonight that this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I may not be blessed here, but on the other side, I'm blessed. I may not look blessed to you, but when I get to thinking about what I am in heaven, and I get to studying the Word of God, and the Word of God exposes me to what I am in heaven, I am blessed in heavenly places. I may have sufferings here, I may not have a lot of monetary goods, and I may not feel the most blessed down here. But beloved, when you look at what I am in heaven, and when you look at what you are in heaven, we are blessed beyond measure. So what are some of these blessings? Well, let's look at the period of these blessings and the potential of these blessings. Now let's look here. Now, let's look in verse number 4. All right? Now let me make this statement to you. We're fixing to talk about some things about election and predestination. I want everybody to listen to me. Election deals with people. Predestination deals with a purpose. Okay? You remember that. Election deals with a people. Predestination deals with a purpose. When you study the Word of God, now there's a crowd going around today, and you know I'm not of that crowd, that God has predestined some to heaven and predestined some to hell. That's not what predestination is talking about. Predestination doesn't deal with people. It deals with a purpose. Look in Ephesians 1, because I'm going to get this before we get into the rest of this. Look at Ephesians 1, 5. Having predestinated us unto what? The adoption of children. You see that purpose? Okay, you see the purpose? We've been predestined unto the adoption of children. Look in verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. See, if you'll study your King James Bible, your King James Bible will explain itself. You see, predestination deals with a purpose, as it said there in verse number 11. Now look in verse, we go back to Romans chapter number 8. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. You see that purpose? What's the purpose of that predestination? To be conformed? Do you understand? You see what I'm saying? See what the Bible's saying? It's not talking about somebody being predestined to go to heaven or hell. It's predestined to a purpose. We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. We've been predestined to be adopted. And all of this is after the good pleasure of His will, which is His purpose. Are we clear on that? We understand it? All right. Well, now let's look at election. Election deals with people. But election still gives man a choice. Okay? Election still gives man a choice. Election is, you can look at John 15:16. I want to read this verse of Scripture to you. We're going to get into the rest of this in just a moment. He said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." John 15:16. You do remember the day that you got saved? How many of you went looking for the Lord Jesus Christ the day you got saved? Anybody in here? You woke up that morning with a determination in your mind that you was going to go find Jesus that day. Anybody? No, but He sure was looking for you, wasn't He? He came to where you was in your sin. He chose you. Alright? You had to make the choice to accept Him on the terms of the gospel. You had to trust what you heard was the truth. You had to believe it. And when you believed it, you accepted the fact that He chose you. Now, He's made this statement in Luke 19:10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth was to seek and to save that which was lost. There's election. There's the choice. He's choosing. He's making a choice. But you know what? He chose everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that on the elect, only the frozen chosen. No. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For it's not God's will that any man should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. And all is all in whatever language you want to speak it in. So, we understand that predestination deals with the purpose and election deals with people. But God, when you deal with election, election does not take away the free will of man. Now, let's go back to the period of the blessings and the potential of the blessings that we have in the book of Ephesians. Y'all okay? Am I too fast? Am I too slow? I want you to grasp this. Everybody good? All right. You know, it is biblical to say amen. It's what it says in Psalms. It says, the psalmist says that all the people say amen. All right. So, here, let's look here. Let's look in verse number 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, here we're going to introduce ourselves to Mr. Ed. Okay? We're fixing to see Mr. Ed in the following verses. But when was you and I chosen? Before we even existed. Before Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Before anybody was ever thought of. You and I were chosen. Explain it. I can't. Accept it. I do. I can't explain it to you. Because other than that, He's God, and besides Him there is none other. And I just have to accept the fact that before He spoke this world, as I know, that not even the world as we know it, because His first one was done away with the flood. I mean, It was destroyed. It was judged. So before all that, guess what? You and I were chosen. It's what the Bible says. It's past tense. Okay? Now, why? Why did He choose us? What's the purpose? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That word, understand this, the past here is that we've been chosen in Him, okay? The present in this is be holy. Think about this just for a minute. Before Genesis 1:1, God's plan was to choose you and I to be part of the bride of Christ, and that when we accepted that offer, that we were to be holy and without blame. Now understand this. That is a present tense. When the word be is put in there, it means that it's happening now. Okay? I called my good friend Dr. Nitz, and that has his doctorate in Bible and his degree in English, and I said, explain this to me. Am I right? He said, Brother Nathan, you're right. Okay? So I talked to the authority. And the authority says that be means, when you put that be in there, that it makes it a present tense. Be makes it present. So you do realize that when He chose me, then it's not only for a time now that I'm holy and blameless, but in the future I'm going to be holy and blameless. We understand that. But guess what? When did He choose us? Before the foundation of the world. A past tense thing. All right? Where's the future that? That we should, you see that? That we should, it means future, but the be part means present. That we should be holy, not just now, but tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. But now let's look at Mr. Ed here. Okay? Look at verse number 5. Having predestinated. You see Mr. Ed on the end of that word, to predestinate? You see him there? What does that mean? It's past tense, something that's already happened. before you was ever thought of, God had a purpose for your life. All right? Past tense. What was that purpose? We have been predestinated unto what? The adoption of Jesus Christ to Himself. That we've been adopted. We've been predestinated to be adopted. Past tense. Well, I don't feel that way. It don't really matter. What does the Bible say? It's not something that's, I'm going to be adopted. When I accepted verse number 12 in that Ephesians, or verse 13, when I heard, trusted, and believed, and I was sealed, I finally got to be a part of all the process that He's fixing to explain, that He just explained to us and that we're fixing to go over. You understand that? But we've already been predestinated to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. But why? Why? Why was I adopted? It was His will, but why? What does the Bible say? According to the what? Good pleasure. Do you realize that God had pleasure in making you His child? Have you ever thought about that? That not just some kind of pleasure, but God had good pleasure. That it brought God joy, that it brought Him pleasure to adopt you into His family. That it pleased Him. That I don't have to please Him. I don't have to live my life to please Him. But because that I chose, accepted the fact that He chose me and I wanted Him to be a part of my life, it brought pleasure to God to make me adopted. Boy, don't that encourage you? Can't you see God in a different light than that He's sitting up there in the heavens ruling with a rod of iron and ready to strike you down and beat you down every time you make a mistake? That's the mindset and the image and the concept of God that we have. That if we step out of line, He's just going, whoosh. Am I right or am I wrong? But what happened in Genesis 1? Or Genesis 3. And the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day with a rod of iron and beat Adam to death. Is that what happened? No, He came walking in the garden in the cool of the day knowing that Adam was in his sin, and what was His words? He said, "Where are you? Where are you? I come to have fellowship with you. I come to enjoy. I come to find pleasure in you," because we know that everything was created for His good pleasure. And He says, "Where are you? I come to have fellowship with you. But you're not here." God knew what He'd done. God says, "I love you so much, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you out of that garden, protect you from that tree of life so that you're not going to live forever and ever in your sin." And He said, "I'm going to set that you." I mean, think about this grace. God says, "Okay, I'm going to protect you. Now that you've messed up, I'm going to protect you and I'm going to provide for you." He took coats of skins and He made a covering for them. He slew that animal. Blood was shed. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. He shed the blood there of that animal. He took them out of the garden and he done away with it. Why? So that they couldn't go back in and eat of that tree of life and be forever, eternally lost. Why? Because it brought good pleasure to Him to make them His sons. You realize that you're pleasing unto God? You're pleasing unto God. I may not always live my life pleasing unto God, but God finds pleasure in me. God finds pleasure in you, but it's a past tense thing. Let's look at this. To the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He hath made us, what? Accepted in the Beloved. I referred to this last week. Do you ever walk into a room and feel like you don't belong? You feel like you're just not accepted? You know, maybe you walk into a group of, no offense, Dr. Williams, but a group of doctors, or a group of lawyers, or a group of high society people, and you just don't feel accepted. You ever feel that way? Yeah. But guess what? According to that Bible, past tense, I'm accepted in the what? Beloved. I'm accepted. I don't have to work at God accepting me. I don't have to impress God to accept me. I don't have to tell God, well, Lord, I'm going to read my Bible every day and I'm going to pray every day and I'm going to do this. And Lord, I'm going to do this. And when I do this, I know You're going to accept me. No, I'm in Jesus. And because I'm in Jesus, guess what? I'm accepted, past tense. It means it's already done. Do you understand that? We live our lives trying to do our best to live so good and so holy and so righteous that we can be accepted by God when the Word of God tells us that we're already accepted. Past tense, Mr. Ed, I'm accepted in the Beloved. You see that? Who's done that for me? What does the Bible say? He hath made. Who has? God. How? In Christ. In Christ, I'm accepted in the Beloved. I don't have to read, guess what, child of God? I don't have to read my Bible again. I don't have to pray. I don't have to preach another message. I don't have to tithe another dime of my income. I don't have to witness. I don't have to do nothing to be accepted in the blood. I'm already accepted because I'm in Jesus. If I have to do all that other stuff to be accepted, then my salvation has become a salvation of what? Works. And I don't have a salvation of works. For by grace are ye saved. Mr. Ed, I'm saved through faith, but not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you see the grace here that God's given us? We've been made accepted in the Beloved. Look at this, in whom we have redemption through His blood. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign, because I am being redeemed. No, I'm redeemed. In whom we have redemption. I've already got it. I have redemption. I've been redeemed. Through what? His blood. Guess what? I also have the forgiveness of sins. Why? According to the riches of what? You see this grace in here? We see His grace in verse number 6. We see His grace in verse number 7. Guess what, child of God? All you had to do was believe the Word of God and accept Jesus Christ on the terms of the gospel, and you got put in Jesus, and all this happened to you. I just don't always feel that way. It don't matter. I don't understand it all. I don't either. But according to that Bible, it's a done deal. Why? Because I'm in Jesus. Look in verse number 8. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Now, let me stop right here just a minute. Let me show you the why of all this, or the purpose of this blessing. All right? Let's look at the purpose right quick. I won't have long, but I'm going to be done here just a second. Why did God bless us? Why are we receiving all of this? Why is all this happening? Why are we being adopted? Why are we being accepted in the beloved? Why are we being redeemed? Why has He abounded wisdom and prudence toward us? Why has He made known unto us the mystery of His will? Why? Well, let's look in verse number 5. What does the last part of verse number 5 say? Somebody read it for me. According to the good pleasure of His will. Huh. Look in verse number 9. What does it say? According to His good, what? Pleasure. Look in verse number 11. According to the purpose of Him. Look in verse number 19. According to the working of His mighty power. Why has God done all this? For His pleasure. But not only that, let's look at this. Let's look at these verses. Look in verse number 6. According to the good pleasure, verse number 5 ends, according to the good pleasure of His will. Why? To the praise of what? The glory of His grace. You see that? All right. Look in verse number 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory. You see that? Verse number 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory. Look at verse number 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You know why God's done all this for you? Anybody? For the praise of His glory. So somebody can say, Lord, You sure are worthy. That's praise, ain't it? And that's giving Him glory. That's praise and glory, right? He says, I've done all this, Mr. Ray, for you because I just want you to praise me. And I just want you to bring glory unto me. Not glory unto the church, not glory unto the preacher, not glory unto yourself, but to bring glory unto me. So that you can praise me. Now I got a question. When's the last time you praised Him? When's the last time you lifted up holy hands to Him? I mean, that is biblical. You do realize that, don't you? That when you lift up your hands or I lift up my hands unto the Lord, it's biblical. Lifting up holy hands unto the Lord, that's what we're doing right now. You know what that means? I'm praising the Lord. I'm praising the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everybody take a deep breath. Guess what? Praise the Lord. Y'all try it sometime. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm praising Him in my heart. No, you're not, because praise is an outward thing. Your heart may be turning flip, but until you praise Him, until you lift up holy hands or you speak it, you're not praising Him. Caleb plays a great job on the guitar. And I'm sitting here, Daddy, man, it just swelling up inside of me. But I never tell Him. Have I praised Him for His work? No. I'm sitting there, and I'm thanking God in my heart for all that's going on in my life. And I sit here in church and I'm reminded of the day that He saved me. And I'm reminded of when He's consoled me when nobody else could. When He was the God of all comfort. And I'm sitting here and I'm just, you know, Lord, I'm praising You in my heart. No, you're not. You're just being reminded. But when you lift up holy hands, you know what God does? God smiles. Because He's done all of this to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. And it's all because of grace. And he says, I just want you to praise me because of my grace. And grace is the unmerited favor of God. And grace is what is getting what we don't deserve. And God says, I just want you to praise me. I just want you to tell me how good I am. I'm going to blow your mind. I'm closing right now, okay? Your Father is the most egotistical being that there is. I'm going to say it again. Your Heavenly Father is the most egotistical being that there is. He shares His praise with no one. He shares His glory with no one. He wants it all. And guess what? He deserves it all. He deserves it all. He wants it all. He wants it all. You say, well, I wouldn't call God egotistic. Well, how else would you describe a being that will not share His praise, that will not share His glory, that besides me, there is none other? What else would you, what other word would you call it? I'm not being disrespectful to you. I'm not degrading you. I'm just telling you who He is and what He is. And that ought to be all the much more reason, Brother Jack, that when we get up in the morning that we praise the Lord. And when we go to bed at night that we praise the Lord. And when we sing the songs that we praise the Lord. Why? Because He's worthy and He deserves it all. And He wants it. Because everything He's done in these verses, and we're going to continue on next week and look at all the things that we've got, that we have. And it's to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. To His good pleasure. Not to my good pleasure. Hey, I get to have pleasure in salvation. If you don't have pleasure in your salvation, you need to check up, praise God. I don't always act happy, but I can always find pleasure in my salvation. If you can't find pleasure in God and you can't find pleasure in your walk in the Christian life, you're not walking the same walk that I'm walking, and you're not serving the same God that I'm serving. Because there's pleasure in it. But Mr. Ray, I'm going to be honest with you. It took me understanding who I was in Christ. In Christ. Are you listening? In Christ. It took me to understanding who I was in Christ before I really began to enjoy my salvation. Because all I could see was that being up there that was ruling with a rod of iron and that was holy and righteous and that I couldn't approach. And that if I messed up, He was ready to cut me down. But then when I realized what He did when I got in. See that term, got in? It's a biblical term. I got in. I got in what? I got in Christ. And when I got in, and I began to understand what He done for me when I got in, and I still ain't got it all comprehended, I began to enjoy it. I began to realize it. Well, if I didn't read my Bible today, He's not going to kill me. If I didn't read my Bible today, then He's not mad at me. If I didn't make it to the prayer grounds today, then you know I'm still accepted in the Beloved. And if I didn't tithe and I robbed God, yeah, there's sin in my life and I've got to confess it. But guess what? I'm still accepted in the Beloved because I have redemption through His blood, even the what? Forgiveness of sins. Huh. So it's not about what I do. It's about what He's done for me. And I can enjoy my salvation. Why? Because of what He's done. And it makes me want to praise Him so much more. Lord, I love You. Thank You, Lord, for loving me. Lord, thank You that You found good pleasure in me. Lord, You've made me accepted. Lord, You've redeemed me. Lord, You've adopted me into Your family. Lord, You chose me and said, I want that one. Lord, I just want to say thank You. Lord, you've done this for me. Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. And that, Lord, that we might know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of your glory and what the inheritance in the saints that we have. And Lord, what is the exceeding greatness of your power to usward who believe. Lord, I pray that tonight. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen.